Happy end of the week to you, Newsman.
And to you, Web Guy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. This week on One Newsman and Web Guy, we are going to look at Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, we are.
And specifically how he spends his days.
Yeah, and I think people will be either a bit shocked or impressed. I think I was both in what he does to be Mark Wahlberg.
Similar daily schedule to what you do.
Yeah, very similar. Yep. Made me feel pretty lazy, actually, to look at what drives him and gets him going. But if you paid me big bucks, perhaps I would also have that sort of regime.
Also, another US celebrity style story. I've got a note here written. We spoke about the Cosby guy. I think his name is Jeffrey Owens. I don't have the name to hand. We talk about it in some real detail, but he has been around for a couple of weeks in the news, initially being shamed online.
Yeah.
Now it's all panned out brilliantly for him. Makes me feel like you can get shamed online and it can actually work to your advantage.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. He wasn't a big name in the Cosby show, but what it's all about is how a little twist in fate can revive someone's career.
Also this week, a new twist in the GoFundMe nightmare scenario that's unfolding in the US again. There's a lot of US stories this week. You might have to rebalance that next week.
Getting a bit American.
We are big in San Francisco. it's our second biggest market. Anyway, there's some legal action pending and, you know, this is kind of the reverse of the Cosby guy. This is something that started out really well and has just gone from one misstep to another until it's really a shocking situation.
Yeah, this one annoys me and it really tests the moral fibre of people involved. I question you about it. You question me. I think we come out all right, but these people, yeah, they bug me. Gee.
I also put you through your paces this week in your knowledge of egg corns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the egg corns?
Yes. They are words that have been mistaken.
Yeah, misheard phrases.
Misheard phrases.
Instead of acorn, you hear egg corn. And then that just snowballs. And before you know it, we're all using phrases that are wildly inaccurate. So,
how do we fare? Yes, tune in.
Are you saying embarrassing things? I found out I was.
Yeah, I think we did pretty well there.
Pretty well. All right, there's all that and not much more this week on our podcast. Take a listen if you dare. Okay, just play the music. Newsman, may as well quickly mention the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's I've been on the sick list for a while. Lost my voice last week, which makes it pretty impossible to do this. So I'm glad the show has moved on. You've managed to rate highly without me.
No, nothing without the newsman. Doesn't even happen without you. So
thanks, Web Guy.
I thought... just easy back in to the podcasting studio.
Yes.
Just hit you up with a casual grilling here because I want to point out to you the common phrases that you, specifically Newsman, have been saying wrong your entire life.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be plenty of them. So hit me with a few.
So this has been circulating online. It's a list of egg corns. Which was a new word to me.
All right. Like egg as in E-G-G.
Yeah. The term egg coin, well, egg corn, coined by a professor in honor of a woman who misheard acorn as egg corn and so was calling it egg corn. But really what she meant was acorn.
That's great.
So these are the sayings that you've probably been saying wrong. And I've seen a list I went through. Some of them I've been getting right all this time. Some of them badly wrong.
There's one that I hear footy players say all the time, and I think it's I'm right and they're wrong, but
which one?
It may
that?
Be on the list.
Well, no, let's go with that one. What is it?
Okay, well, I hear people going, "Oh, you must be keen for this game. Oh, I'm chomping at the bit." Yeah. I believe it's champing at the bit.
That one is not on this list, but I have been baffled by the same one. I think champing it's like, or chomping?
I think it's like the, I don't know.
I investigated it some time ago, and my memory of the results I found was it can be either.
Both. Okay.
Yeah. Which I think is the case a lot of times, but because these sayings do morph from one to the other, and so at some this by now, both are kind of right, but usually there was one that was the original.
And I guess if it's the bit, you can chomp on that.
Chomp, champ. Yeah. So you think it's champing?
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, I think it was originally champing as well. But I think chomping now.
I'll Google it again.
Anyway.
That's right. Yep.
Tell me which it is. Is it nip it in the butt or nip it in the bud?
I've always thought it was bud.
Correct.
Yes.
Bud as in plant.
Yep, like you're gardening it.
Yeah.
Bit of pruning happening.
Yeah.
Get it quick.
Yeah. A lot of people will say
nip it in the butt.
They say butt, yeah.
Like?
Yeah, just a little nip on the butt. I don't know how that's going to help anything.
See, that, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, the nip in the butt is like clip the flower quickly to promote growth.
So you're suggesting if you are saying nip it in the butt, take a look at yourself.
Well, there's going to be plenty. And I've got a shamefile one to come after this, but.
All right, we'll get to the shame in a second. Is it hunger pains or hunger pangs?
I would go. I think I would use pains, but I think it's pangs.
Yeah, I'm the same. I would always say pains, but pangs is a sudden, sharp pain or painful emotion. Blah blah blah. So I think it was originally pangs. Okay, I'm not even going to comment yet. Is it you've got another thing coming or you've got another think coming?
Oh, I would have gone thing.
Yeah, I've always said you've got another thing coming because that's a sentence I say a lot to people. Hey, buddy, you've got another thing coming. It is
think
with a K.
Ah.
Because a person thinks something, someone believes them to be wrong. So you've got another think coming, as in you better think again.
Ah. See, what you just said second was clearer.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you better think about
think again. Is it scapegoat or escape goat?
Oh, I'd scape.
Scape. Yeah. I think everyone knows that, don't they? Statue of limitations or statute of limitations?
Chute.
Mm-hmm. Interesting one. Butt naked or buck naked?
Oh, I reckon it's buck.
Butt, as in B-U-T-T, is more common, but buck, B-U-C-K, is the original phrase.
Yep.
No one really knows why, but probably because buck, as in a reference to a male deer.
Ah, okay.
Don't know how that
Because butt naked works because it conjures images of a butt. Of a bum. Could be bum naked.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon I've heard buck naked a lot in American Porky's films and such.
Don't worry, we'll delete that bit after. We don't have bucks here, do we? Maybe, I don't know.
No.
Many bucks in Australia? Who knows? Mute point or moot point?
I reckon it's moot.
Mute is a mishearing of moot. All right, this is my last one, then we can get into your much-awaited shame confession. One in the same or one and the same?
The second one, but is it?
Yeah, one in the same is an egg corn. Someone misheard one and the same. But right. That's not really a very common... I don't think I've ever even uttered that phrase until just now.
Yeah, well, I reckon we did pretty well.
Pretty well. The one that I will pick out there is the you've got another think coming. That's what I've got to adjust in my talking.
You know, people will correct you though when you say it, I reckon. They'll go, what?
Yeah, it'll be a weird, it'll sound weird.
I'm sure there are other ones that'll pop into my head over the coming weeks, so perhaps people can tweet them to our very active Twitter feed on that.
We'll be inundated.
Now, this one's not really a saying, but I was trying to be nice and send my partner a text as I was heading away from work. I think I said, hope your morning went well.
Mm-hmm.
And did the wrong yaw.
Oh!
No.
You are a professional word man.
And it's one of those ones where I've shamed many a person. So I've sat up on my soapbox for so long and just gone.
You're one of those guys that do that?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, no, not really, but I sort of...
You silently judge?
Silently judge.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then so, I did it myself. I was kicking myself.
Is that Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law is that as soon as you call out someone for incorrect grammar or words, you will make an error yourself.
Mm. One of my pet hates, kind of likes, kind of hates of talkback radio, whenever someone gets on and talks about language.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone gets on and preaches about it. And you can be 100% sure somewhere in what they've said there's is it syntax or they've said a sentence incorrectly.
Yeah.
You just go, well, what are you getting on your high horse about?
Yeah, bottom line, no one should be on the high horse. Just while I've got you here, just real quick before you have to go. I know you're busy. The one that always gets me, I'm never sure if it is into, as in, you know, go into the room. Into is two words or one word. I never know when it should be which.
I think it's two.
Always two? Anyway, we'll take that offline perhaps.
Yeah. Language, interesting.
Newsman, want to talk to you today about a GoFundMe campaign that has started off really good, it's gone really bad, and now we're looking at quote-unquote possible indictments.
Whew. Now, for anyone living under a rock, and i.e. me, a GoFundMe campaign, basically you can get onto a GoFundMe specific website? You go there, you plead your case for money, and people can donate to a cause.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Good. You're all over it. So a woman in the US last year set up a GoFundMe account. She ran out of petrol, and this is in the US. She ran out of gas.
Gas.
In a very suspect part of town, late at night, got out of the car because she had to go to the nearest gas station, get some gas. A homeless man approached her and told her, this is not the part of town you want to be out and about in right now. Get back in the car, lock yourself in there. I'll be back in a minute. The guy was homeless. He used the last $20 he had on him to buy more petrol for the lady.
Sounds nice. Lovely.
Came back with the petrol, filled her up, off she went. She was safe and he had, you know, given the very little that he had to help her out in a tough spot. Later on, the woman that he helped thought, you know, he really did me a good turn. I'm going to set up a GoFundMe page, explain what had happened. Thought maybe we can get some money to give back to the homeless guy, who is, by the way, an ex-Marine and firefighter, but became a, you know, drug addict living on the streets.
Web guy, this is sounding all good so far. Sounds like a really good story.
Yeah.
But?
I think the GoFundMe campaign was too successful. It's kind of almost what the problem is here. You know, like a little bit of something is really good, but too much of anything is bad. They ended up raising $400,000 for the homeless guy.
Shush.
So initially they were like, oh, this is great. We're getting some donations. They give the guy some money, post some video of him like just blown away. Well, I can't believe you guys have given me a couple hundred bucks.
Yes.
Anyway, kept going, 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 going. They eventually had these hundreds of thousands of dollars. Went bad when the woman and her partner, who had set up the page, appeared to have cut the homeless man off and began spending the money themselves. So a little while later, the homeless man was found. You know, he'd been getting his life back on track. He was later found back living under a bridge, back on drugs. It turned out that he was, you know, the couple were... He alleges keeping all the money for themselves, going on holidays, blowing through the money.
Did he see the start of the money, like tens of thousands or?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much. I think they set up, they did set up like a little fund where he would get like a weekly installments.
Yeah, right.
So maybe at about the point you're talking about, into the thousands. Yeah, I don't exactly know when it went off. But anyway, skip forward and their house has been raided and police have seized a BMW, Louis Vuitton bags, jewelry, computers, financial documents. It's all going through court now. And basically the lawyers admitted, well, these guys are probably going to get done, indicted. Mm. I don't know if that means jail. I guess presumably, possibly. It's all gone very wrong.
That's really sad. I think probably she had good intentions to start off with, to help a good Samaritan.
Yeah.
But realised that his story, his heartwarming story, was a much more profitable story than her own ho-hum suburban life, and has exploited the system. So is there any, you being a GoFundMe expert, is there any sort of way that a contributor can... know that their money's going to that certain cause?
I don't know all about it, but
obviously not. You can just pillage the money however you want.
Well, there must be some transparency about it. I mean the GoFundMe website on this case have promised to refund any missing money. They have put 20,000 of their own dollars into an account for this homeless guy. I guess that you could say that's a bit of a PR move, perhaps, by them. I don't know. But, yeah, there must be transparency about it. And, you know, the couple have misused the funds, apparently. You know, we found out about it. Mm. Everybody knows. They've been busted. So there must be some, you know, checks and balances.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, for me, it's a tipping point of, like, okay, you're generous, but to what point?
Yeah.
Obviously, they weren't generous to the point where they're going to let this guy get all 400 grand. Mm. So at a certain point, they were like, oh, now we want it all for ourselves because this has got bigger than we thought. It's more than you need, maybe even more than you deserve is what they're thinking.
Am I terrible to say? I'll firstly say I would not keep the money in any circumstances. I'm confident I wouldn't have kept any of the money.
Okay.
But would it be wrong of me and small-minded of me to feel like I'd be a little envious that a guy that I probably was hoping to raise $5,000 so he can get, you know, into rental market and new suit and got 400,000. Would it be wrong to feel a little bit envious that you've put in this small gesture but it's become huge?
You'd be wanting to strike some kind of deal with the Johnny Bobbitt Jr. is his name. You'd be saying Johnny, and they got to the point where he was going to be able to buy his own house.
Yeah.
Far beyond what anyone ever expected. You'd think maybe they could sit down with Johnny Bobbitt Jr. and say, look, let's work out a thing here. You know, this is beyond what we all thought. We can all win out of this. It's maybe divided up in some way. But they didn't need to take the whole thing. And Johnny, by the sounds of it, is just a great guy. He apparently didn't even want to pursue these guys, like, legally. But, you know, his case has been taken up pro bono, blah, blah. He, you know, he's not really, I don't think, you know... he's not hunting down for the money. He's not really.
But what's their justify? Like you're just playing devil's advocate. But why? How could they justify that any of the money should go to them at all?
I guess it was their idea.
Yeah, but it's for him. It's saying this guy needs it. He's a good Samaritan.
Yeah, well, that's the tipping point. If you had set it up and it got to $4 million, would you start to think, well, what point do I maybe? Get a little bit out of this as well.
No.
You'd be happy to let him get $3
billion.
That's
what I'm saying. I would feel embarrassed that I am envious that he is getting all the money, but not one person is giving that money because she's a nice lady. It's all about his heartwarming goodness and need. Yeah.
I think for sure there's a movie in this.
There is. Hey, GoFundMe though. There are some positive stories, and that on much smaller scale. I read one recently where a character in the original Gilligan's Island show.
Favourite of yours.
Is it Marianne? Is that one of the characters?
Don't ask me Gilligan trivia. I've never even seen the thing.
It's something, Anne. She has come onto tough financial times in recent years. Pretty old these days.
Oh,
and they raised a couple of $100,000 so she could... get into retirement living. I don't know if it was a retirement home or...
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And a worker that we work with, this is on an even smaller scale, has promoted people contributing to GoFundMe funds for books being published.
Oh, yeah.
So she's really keen on music and entertainment and has contributed to a couple of books and has felt real pride that the books have gone ahead. And I think everyone that contributes gets their name in it. So, you know, if you're a big fan of a muso and you get your name in the book.
That Gilligan story really petered out. I was waiting for the big scandal.
Oh,
but no, she just got some money, she retired, and she lived happily ever after.
Pretty much.
Okay.
She didn't waste the money on, like, coconut radio headphones or anything, or buying the SS Minnow or anything. She bought that house, and it was happily ever after.
A bit to talk about today, newsman. Who's putting needles in strawberries, just by the way?
Yeah, it's a pretty sad situation that eastern states, I think in particular Queensland, a bit of a scare happening with strawberries, with the needles in there.
They are saying that a disgruntled worker has put needles into the strawberries at a place where he worked. I don't know if they know it's a he or... I guess they don't know it's a he or she. Anyway,
yeah,
this
we'll
person,
go with a he.
Probably.
It's normally a he.
It's going to be a he. Disgruntled former employee. That's not a disgruntled former employee. That's a dead set psychopath.
I get that it would cause damage for the company, but it's more damage to whoever finds the strawberries.
Completely.
Shame on them.
He's missed the mark by a long shot. Anyway, that's too downbeat. Let's talk about something better, which is Mark Wahlberg. You know Mark Wahlberg?
Yes, Hollywood star.
And former music rapper guy.
Yes.
We have learned this week what his typical daily schedule for him looks like. And I only bring this to you because it's outlandish.
So are we talking how to keep that physical prowess going? Because Mark Wahlberg's sort of known for having a bit of a rig physically, if I can speak heterosexually on this.
Indeed, he does have a rig, for sure. Abs, the biceps, the triceps, the whole deal. Anyway.
Thanks for saving me there.
So we know what he looks like. I'll tell you how he gets that, and you tell me if you think it's worth it. Typical daily schedule. He posted this on Instagram, I think, somewhere on social media. He wakes up at 2:30 a.m. That's not a wake up. That's when you accidentally wake up in the middle of the night and have to go back to sleep.
Can we go to the bedtime at the very end of this schedule? Or you
finishes with bedtime, yeah.
Okay. But 2:30.
Alarm clock goes off at 2:30 a.m.
Not many people are comfortable with that.
2:45 a.m. is prayer time. That lasts, I'm quickly calculating, that lasts for half an hour.
Ooh.
Praying for 30 minutes. He then has breakfast at 3:15 a.m.
Yeah.
He then works out from 3:40 a.m. to 5:15 a.m. That's 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Yep, well done.
Workout.
Yep.
It's still only just gone 5:30 a.m. He now has a post-workout meal. 6 o'clock shower. Now,
good.
Only just noticing this now. The next item on the agenda is an hour and a half later.
Okay, so what's
that? So he showers from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. What the heck?
Oh.
At 7:30 a.m. he plays golf.
Well, I guess that showering period, I thought you were going to... That's all encompassing, I guess. Getting yourself... Doing your hair.
Okay, yeah.
Creaming up.
Okay.
Moisturising and...
You got away with words. 7:30 a.m. he starts playing golf.
Yeah.
He's done with golf by 8 a.m.
That's a quick golf.
Half an hour.
He spends longer in the shower than he plays golf.
Maybe just he's at the driving range or something. He can't play golf.
No. Maybe he's got a 9-hole par 3 out the backyard or something.
Yeah. 8 a.m. snack. And I'm racing through this because it's a long list.
Yeah.
9:30 a.m. So he's just snacked for an hour and a half. 9:30 a.m. cryo chamber recovery.
Yep.
Sounds awesome.
You see the AFL footy players doing that these days?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's doing it every day. Reduces inflammation, he says. That's got to be good. I wish I could do that every day. And also, I wonder if he has this in his house. He must
have. Yeah, I reckon.
10:30, snack.
Yep.
11 a.m. All right. Family time / meetings / work calls. So just a all-purpose getting stuff done. How are you having family time at 11 a.m.? I mean, is his kids at school?
Yeah.
Well, they are at school because I know that he picks them up from school a bit later on. So family time at 11 a.m. That's a cop out. How are you family timing when they're all out of the house? Anyway, suspicious entry there. 1 p.m. lunch. 2 p.m. more meetings and work calls.
Mm-hmm.
For only 1 hour. Then at 3 p.m. he's picking the kids up from school. At 3:30, a snack. 4 p.m. workout number 2 for the day. That goes for an hour. 5 p.m. he has his second shower for the day.
Mm-hmm.
5:30 p.m. dinner and family time, which lasts for a couple of hours, and then in bed by 7:30 p.m.
Hmm.
Wowzers. Do you think? Is it wowzers, or do you think, yeah, no, fair, that's fair?
Well, it's pretty structured. So if you're going to bed at 7:30, the whole 2:30 wake up, you'd get used to, I suppose.
I guess.
And there's a lot of, you talk about, you know, snack and then like an hour and a half later. So there is a bit of time to just, he's not including in there what's happening in that. So what was the gap between some of the snack v next meeting or whatever?
I don't know. On the scheduled meals, he's got 7 scheduled meals for the day.
Yeah. Well, that's fun as well. Although it's probably just, you know, lean chicken and broccoli or something.
Yeah, he's not probably... I think he owns a burger chain. I was going to say he's not eating burgers, but maybe he is.
I don't want to dwell on this, but how much is what he looks like a tribute to his success? Because if it's, say, a lot, and I think it is, all of this is like working to be the person people want to hire.
Yeah. Yeah. This is exactly what I took away from it. That to read out the list is overwhelming. Who could do a day like that? But what it shows you is what the human body and mind will do when it is intensely focused on just one thing. And his is, I am going to look ripped.
Yep.
And be in action movies.
Mm.
That is what I'm going to do.
Yep.
And, you know, and he does do that. So I guess he's got momentum now. He's got the motivation. His life is all working towards that one thing. Look ripped, be in action movies.
Yep.
And with that sort of goal, one goal, he can do this crazy stuff.
Mm.
So, you know, this is probably not realistic, but I think we can all take away something that have a goal and you can probably drive yourself to do some pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it mentions a couple of hours of phone calls and work. But really, the whole day is, you know, essentially work, you know, contributing to his career, I suppose.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just out of interest, I just looked in here, worked out in his daily schedule whereabouts I would come in. So,
okay.
Say, usually I'm up at about 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the time I wake up, Mark Wahlberg has prayed, had breakfast, worked out for an hour and a half, and then had another meal.
Mm.
And just as he's finished that, little old web guy, he's just crawling out of bed at that point. Mind you, he's going to bed at 7:30, so I've got a couple of extra hours up my sleeve at the end of the day.
And you're doing a pretty intensive workout at that stage of the night?
Probably in comparison to this, I'm probably squandering those hours, I realise now.
But as you said, food for thought, add a bit of structure to your life and you never know what you can achieve.
Without knowing for sure, Marcus, I'm thinking you were probably a Cosby Show fan.
Yeah, you're starting to get to know my taste. Guy, yes, I was a fan of the Cosby Show. It was pretty high rating in Australia at its peak.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Cosby, obviously no longer the flavour of the month in any forum at the moment.
No. A couple of issues there. Put those to one side for a second. Can you remember the character Elvin Thibodeau?
No. Now, when we were talking about this story earlier, I did Google it. I believe he was sort of an in-and-out character, so he wasn't one of the hard and fast Cosby family, but perhaps a sort of, what would you call it? Steve Urkel's side story, or, you know, someone that popped in and out of the sitcom.
He sounds like a cousin. Probably a cousin.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know. I'm guessing. Mm. Elvin Thibodeau.
The face looks familiar.
Showing the picture there. He... I saw him described as Cosby Show mainstay.
Mainstay, okay.
Which just sounds like another way of saying not one of the stars.
Yes.
One of the other ones.
He'd probably feature in the credits, you know, also guest starring. Yeah.
They probably weren't cheering when he came on set. You know, I don't know if they did that in the Cosby Show, but famously Kramer would get applause whenever he appeared on set.
Yeah. Something. And whether he got one of those really bright acrylic jumpers that Bill was known for.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, everyone would have remembered or heard about the actor's name is Jeffrey Owens, who played that character. Mm. He was in the news recently because he was photographed just working a humble day job at Trader Joe's. Became a bit of a story because he was kind of shamed about it. Shamed online, you know. Oh, show us your acting career. You're working at Trader Joe's. That was pretty quickly replaced by just support for the guy. Like, you know, good on you, mate. Like, he said, you know, he's been acting and directing constantly for the last 30 years, but there's not always enough jobs or work to pay the bills. So he does that to kind of top up.
Yep.
So everyone was very quickly on his side. Like, no shame in that. You know, he's doing a good thing. He's doing the right thing. And he's bobbed up again this week because at that time he was offered acting jobs, like more jobs.
That's good.
He's been given another one this week. He's going to appear on NCIS New Orleans. He's been they've invented a character especially for him to play. Commander Adams. He's an old and valued friend of the show's lead, Special Agent Dwayne Cassius Pride. And he provides, quote unquote, both medical and spiritual advice.
Ooh.
So he's like a guru role by the sounds.
So what's your take on this? Are you feeling anything towards it or?
Oh, I'm with everyone. I think Trader Joe's, like, no big deal. That people tried to embarrass him about it was shameful. I was trying to think about it before. I almost can't think of an embarrassing job to have, like, aside from like criminal endeavors. You know, you might want to tease someone for doing something criminal, but for a legitimate job, what could one what could a legitimate job possibly be that you would deserve to get mocked for? I can't think of one.
Not many. But I reckon I would if I had seen and this is really localizing, if like an Adelaide TV news presenter, like one of the high profile ones, was unceremoniously axed, and then like a few months later some shots were taken of them working in the body shop or, you know, Big W.
Did you say the body shop?
Is that
that's what springs to your mind? Yes, continue.
You know, a chain of stores or whatever. It would raise eyebrows for me. Like, I would be like,
yeah,
oh, wow.
Wow.
But
there's George Danikian working at the body shop.
Exactly. But I think we forget that acting is a brutal, brutal profession. And, you know, the jobs, there are tens of thousands of people vying for a very small pool of jobs. So are people really shocked that actors have to find work elsewhere? I thought the big joke is people go to LA to be actors and, you know, nearly all the waitresses and all the bar staff are potential Hollywood stars.
I think the thing with someone who has established a career, you know, he was in a Cosby Show, even if it was secondary, minor, no one remembers him role. He was in one of the biggest shows of all time. So he's established a career, and he said this in an interview. He didn't want other people in the industry to think, oh, well, we won't speak to Jeffrey Owens about this possible job because we know he works at Trader Joe's now. He must be out of the biz.
Yeah.
So he was trying to kind of keep it, you know, not, he wasn't embarrassed, but he wasn't publicizing it either because he didn't want people to think that they shouldn't still approach him about work in the industry. Anyway.
It'd be interesting to know whether during, from that point onwards, obviously he's found getting gigs difficult in recent times, whether that's because he doesn't cut it or... No, well, I'm just saying, like, why isn't he getting jobs?
Why isn't he?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, why aren't you? But he is. He's going to be on NCIS.
Now. But that's because he's, you know.
Well, and this leads us to, well, leads me to an interesting idea. If you are acting, maybe it applies to any profession. I guess showbiz related mainly. But if you are in a bit of a slump, best way out of a slump now is to create a bit of a, I hesitate to call it a sob story, but probably that's the best way to put it, to make people sort of feel sorry for you and sort of get attention at the same time. I mean, heck, even just copy exactly what this guy's done. If you are a newsreader who's been thrown on the heap, like, make photos of yourself working at the reject shop go viral. And I reckon, bada bing, bada boom, next week you're back on TV.
It's funny though, like, yeah, I guess I haven't watched it for a long time, but I wouldn't have thought he was a big enough star to draw that much attention. But
must have been an absolute fan that recognised him in the first place.
Well, maybe it shows that I didn't watch it as closely as I thought I did. But
if anyone would know about the Cosby Show trivia, it would be you. How did the theme song go?
I don't know.
You know.
I can't remember them all sort of gyrating around in a... It wasn't your average... they were doing sort of a cool black dancing scene sort of thing.
Well, you called it gyrating, which probably should have been sounding alarm bells. If that's what Bill was doing.
No, you know, sort of, I don't know. He was doing it in slow motion. He was dancing in slow motion.
Like Ellen dancing?
Yeah, but more sort of, ironically, not even in time with music. But yeah, that's interesting that it takes, bringing a guy down to size to bring him up again.
Yeah, I think it's a happy ending.